Donald Trump is an existential threat to our democracy.
He's a genuine danger to American security.
We are fighting for a democracy.
We have to preserve our democracy.
Every time I hear that clip and I hear Joe Biden's voice, it's jarring to me how weak his voice is. But that's a montage, a mini montage there, of the repeated threat to democracy that we continue to hear from those people who are trying to lead us or are leading us. And then, of course, there's all of the rhetoric that comes out of the media. They've really built a strong case just by legal system, legal challenges, lawfare against Donald Trump to try to back up the idea that he is a threat. But is that lawfare even an honest, realistic depiction of who Donald Trump is? Let's bring our next guest on. Excited to have Andy McCarthy back with us on The Andy Frey Show. He's the contributing editor at National Review. He is the host of The McCarthy Report. You also see him, of course, on Fox News as a Fox News contributor. Andy, thank you for being with us today. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Andy, it's my pleasure.
So, you know, there's been a second attempt on Donald Trump's life, and there's a lot of questions leading up to this individual who is doing this, you know, trying to figure out motives and everything. A lot of people are talking about rhetoric, and we hear the left regularly talking about the threat that Donald Trump is. And I think that the lawfare that's been thrown against him is certainly one of the things that they use to really prop up that idea. You've been at the forefront of covering this lawfare. Do you think that there's a factor in here that this has just been a political motivation to make people believe that he is a threat?
Well, I think that most of the rhetoric about rhetoric has been designed to intimidate people into not crossing lines that the left doesn't want crossed. So I think that Trump is the target in the sense that he's the one who draws attention, and you know, when they criticize what they call hot rhetoric, when he uses it, when they use it, it's passion. But when he uses it, it's incitement. But I think the design of this, like the design of much of lawfare, where the process is more the penalty than the ultimate outcome of some of these cases, is to intimidate people into not exercising their rights. I prosecuted terrorists back in the 90s, including prosecuting the blind sheikh successfully for incitement. That was actual incitement, calling for violence, violent attacks on American military targets under circumstances where you were dealing with somebody who had demonstrated in the past the capacity to order acts of violence, that people would actually carry out his orders. That's incitement. And the reason I argue pretty hard that anything that stays on the right side of incitement is something that we should just indulge. It doesn't mean you have to like it. A lot of political language is pretty obnoxious, and historically it's been that way. But the alternative, if you let the government and let people with an agenda start to intimidate people into turning into taboos what should actually be policy that we discuss openly, is that you have a much more dangerous society.
Andy McCarthy with us right now, Fox News contributor and contributing editor at National Review. I'm looking at this article that you have at National Review right now, and you're pointing out the fact that Donald Trump is far from the only target of Dems' lawfare abuse. That's the headline for your article. And, you know, we, of course, talk quite a lot, of course, about Donald Trump. But what the tentacles of this lawfare from this aggressive Justice Department, it has a far reach.
Yeah, it sure does. And I think that obviously Trump is the most prominent target of this, but he's far from the only target of it. And the difference between Trump and a lot of people who feel the lash of this is that Trump actually has not only the attention of the media and a high profile, he has a lot of resources to hire lawyers and investigators to help him to, you know, mount a defense, which has been a very successful defense in the last 2 years. But also because he's got the media profile, he can fight back and call what's going on in a way that the average person can't. I wrote over the weekend about a Republican poll watcher who, made a remark about, something that he had witnessed in a recount in Michigan in a close local race. He analogized it to treason, which, may be an unfortunate analogy, but it certainly wasn't anything more than that. The guy was just blowing off steam. He didn't even make the remark to the person that he was talking about, who was in another room. And you had a progressive Democratic prosecutor in Michigan charge him with making a terrorist threat, which has a 20-year potential prison sentence. Now, I'm pretty confident, given what the law of Michigan is and the law of the United States, that that's a case that ought to get laughed out of court and probably will at some point. But I've seen what happened with Trump in Manhattan, where you had a progressive Democratic elected prosecutor and a progressive Democratic judge presiding, and Trump got convicted. And I think it'll ultimately be reversed, but it may take 2 or 3 years. Trump can afford that, but not everybody can. So what happens to this guy? If he gets railroaded in the trial court, which could happen, I think he'll eventually win the case on appeal, but he'll have gone through God knows how much money in legal fees, the anxiety that you have when you're under criminal accusation, the lost employment opportunities. So this is why I say that the process is the penalty. You have one side of our political debate in this country which actually believes that it's the right thing to do to use the processes and administration and the administrative state in our country, all of these very elaborate processes, to use them in a punitive way that breaks their opposition and makes everybody else, what this stands as is a sign to everyone else that, this can happen to you too if you cross us.
Yeah, I think that's the really scary thing. We've heard President Trump say they're coming after him because they're trying to get to us, the American people, or at least those who don't think correctly, according to how the people who have the power believe that they should. I mean, is this justice bias, Andy McCarthy, in your opinion? Is it able to be politically influenced, or is it bureaucratically institutionalized, or both?
I think it's both. I think, the history of the progressive movement in America, particularly as it's gotten, it's really in its ascendancy since Obama, and it's gotten much more aggressive, I would say, in the last 20 years. But I think the history of it always is that it gravitates to the place where it can make the biggest impact. So, for example, when you had conservative administrations in the 80s into the 90s, they pushed their agenda through the courts. When you had progressive Democrats in power, for example, in the Obama administration, they pushed their agenda through executive power. They're still pushing their agenda through executive power and the administrative state. So they always go to the weakest link in the chain and use that, use the levers of power when they can acquire them to push their agenda up the field. The difference between now and, say, the 1980s, 1990s, when I was a prosecutor in New York, I always draw this comparison. If you would run for Manhattan District Attorney or New York State Attorney General in the 80s or 90s, and you said, elect me and I will use the powers of the office against our political enemies, that would not only have been deemed a disqualifying argument, they would have run you up to Bellevue Hospital for a mental evaluation for making an argument like that. Flash forward to 2018, maybe 2017, Letitia James runs for attorney general in New York State and says, elect me and I will use the powers of the office to take on Donald Trump and target him. And she got elected like 70% to 30%. So that's not just a legal problem. That says a lot about the culture, at least in these one-party blue states.
Andy McCarthy with us right now. I have just one question for you in your expertise and your opinion. Is the solution, I mean, I feel like if we elect Donald Trump, a lot of the policies that I want to have enacted are going to much more likely to be enacted should he be put in office. But that executive has the ability to help fire people who need to be fired and try to reshape the Justice Department. And yes, I assume that you are putting your trust in the guy on the other side of the aisle to, you know, air quotes, do the right thing. Can Donald Trump or even Kamala Harris, for that matter, can they go in there and impact justice quickly with their abilities as the president of the United States?
Oh, absolutely. You know, look, I think one of the things we should be talking more about, Annie, is the Democrats, for all this talk about Donald Trump being the greatest threat to democracy, you know, the Democrats have controlled the executive branch, which is now the most powerful branch by far in government, for 12 out of the last 16 years. That means, you know, just to get an idea, we have about 800 plus federal judges in the United States. 540 of them have been appointed by Barack Obama and Joe Biden in 12 of the last 16 years. Obama, Trump got a lot, but he had a four-year term. He got 220. They had more than twice as many, and the next president will probably get another 200 plus. So, you know, it's one thing to talk about, you know, Trump and his policy preferences and, you know, the threat to democracy and all this stuff. But where the rubber meets the road, where a lot of these issues are being fought out, every single day, a Democratic administration is going to be appointing federal judges, federal administrators. They're going to be threading the Justice Department, the administrative state, all over the place with their operatives. And that's what moves policy in this country.
Yeah, there's so much consequence to what happens in November. And I think that a fair justice system is something that is desired on a bipartisan level. Andy McCarthy, thank you. We always love having you with us, and we appreciate your expertise on this issue.
Thanks so much, Andy.
We'll have you back soon. Andy McCarthy, a Fox News contributor. He's also the contributing editor at National Review. We always appreciate him coming on. He's on X at Andrew C. McCarthy. Go tell him hi. Tell him thanks for being on the show. If you like hearing him, I love it when he comes on. All right, I'm going to turn over the rest of the show to Ryan Wiggins. So he just found that out just now.
Okay, we're going to be talking about polls for the next hour and a half.
You know what? There is a contingent of people who is going to be locked and loaded, ready to go.
It's my people.
Yeah, we're in a separate studio today. We're here, of course, still at the radio station. We're in the it's called Studio C. We're in the KMOX territory. We snuck in here. We got these microphones, and we're seeing how long they'll let us stay.
It's a pirate broadcast.
It's a pirate yar.
It's a pirate yar.
Broadcast. I don't know how you say the R, like a
burr.
sounds like you're cold.
I think I'm going to mark that and make us.
That sounds like my stomach.
We're getting some upgrades in the 97.1 studio. So we've got several things that are, well, I would say pretty much everything is off from usual, but we're handling it. We're managing. We're excited to be here. And we've got more fun to talk about in the rest of the show. We'll also get back to that YouTube live chat poll. Not so fun. Did Ryan Rath act on his own? Yes, he's a lone wolf. Or no, he was a conspirator. You go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and you can come see our new digs for the moment and vote in that poll. Leave a comment. Stick around. We'll be right back.